Good morning, everyone.
Coach Kathy here. Let's do a sound check real quick. Everybody can hear me okay? Awesome. Awesome. Let's get our amazing Coach MJ up to talk to you first this morning. I'm also promoting Coach Lisa. She will be in the Q&A and in the chat should you need something. We will get rolling. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's ready for swag? This is the moment that everybody has been waiting for. I know. Y'all sit around with bated breath and like, what are they going to put in the box? We have new stuff this time. So I'm going to reveal the swag in a particular order because I want to like start out with stuff that you know, and then I'm going to surprise you at the end. Okay. So if you are on Sunday's call with me, y'all know I can't stand it. So I did show you the insert. Let the countdown begin. Here it is. This is for Queen of Your Life Camp. Swag for Queen of Your Life. There are virtual spots available, y'all. So make sure that you go check it out if you're not already registered. But I said this reminds me of my old, rock band posters. That I used to have at my house because on the back, it's almost like a little poster that you can tear off and hang up with daily affirmations. So you can put this in the bathroom. I think I'm going to put this one in my office. You can put it on your fridge. You can put it on your something at work. It's going to be amazing to have these just in your face so you can remind yourself of how you want to talk to yourself. Because what gets in our way more than everything? We just talk crap to ourselves and we're done with that. So, this is going to help you. Now, you, of course, get the workbook as well, Queen of Your Life. You get the workbook. It will be available shortly on the website, on your homepage. If you're registered for camp, we're making it fillable right now. So, it's a bit of a process to make it fillable, but in the swag shipments, you are going to go ahead and get your workbook. And you can go ahead and start reading through. Working through it is amazing. Okay. So far, affirmations and a workbook. Next, you are going to get, of course, the only notebook I ever write in. This is my favorite thing. This is the just regular notebooks that we give out every camp, but every year the cover has to do with the camp. So, as you can see, it might be backwards for y'all, but it is Queen of Your Life and it's got just different sayings and stuff on it. Corinne is very picky about paper. It is amazing paper and it even folds flat because this is the only thing I use at home. I have some of these and I use these are my favorite notebooks. I cannot hardly use anything else. Now, in the past, we have done a journal. Like for Think It and Get Shrink It, we had journals. We have given you journals. We have done different like cards that you could use, like on the daily or whatever. But this time, we are giving you something similar, but not the same. And I'm going to show you. First of all, I love the cover. It says, "Look at this, y'all. Queen of Your Life Vision Journal." It is a vision journal. So, what is a vision journal? I'm going to tell you, I went through this. It is all about your goals, setting monthly goals. I'll just tell you on the goal sheet, it's like my goal is whatever your goal is for that day. Here's my why for achieving this goal today. Maybe it's afternoon snacking. Maybe it's closing the kitchen. Maybe it's putting your laundry away. Whatever your goal is. Here's what I'm going to do to get one step closer to my goal today. What might get in the way? And then you have a whole place for notes and ideas, a daily check-in for how you did, tons of room in the back for notes. And for all of you who loved lined paper to write notes on, we got you covered. And for those of you that like me, I like the dot paper. We got dot paper in here too. You may not can see it on camera, but it's the little dot. So we've got you either way. there's a line a day that you can do. There's another little habit tracker where you can create your own habits. It is amazing. We are going to get our goals at Queen of Your Life. I'm just telling you. Amazing. The next thing I have to show you is something that we've done in the past, but it's a little bit bigger. We got the sticky notes are coming back because what do we always talk about? You want to achieve your goals. You want to do the things. You want to put yourself first. You have to insert external triggers. This one, it's like twice as thick and it is sticky notes. So you can put those thoughts, those ideas, those new ways to think all over your environment, which is amazing. Next, we did these pens at Think It, Ink It, Shrink It. We got such an overwhelming response to these pens. We have brought them back for Queen of Your Life Camp. And they are right here. As you can see, they have words on it. I can do it. Bitch got goals. Wonder where they heard that from. And No BS Queen. In the back insert is a book, like a bookmark that you can just pull out. It's very thick. And it says, I will conquer every day. And it says Queen of Your Life at the bottom. It is amazing. And I'm so glad this swag reveal is over because people have stolen my pens from last time. And these are now my new favorite pens. So I'm going to, now that I've shown y'all, I'll get to start using them. Now for things that we have never seen before. These are brand new. First time ever in the swag box. Who is ready? Amy said the pens are all black, but they just have different on the outside. I can't decide which one I want to give you first. I can't decide which one I want to show you first because I'm so excited about both of them that I cannot make up my mind. I've gone back and forth. But I have made my mind up. What y'all have been wanting in your planners since the day Corinne Crabtree built back in the day, Fit and Fat? Stickers. Y'all order them from Amazon. Y'all pay the money. Now they're included in your swag box. Hello. Swag box stickers. 2 pages of stickers. Some of them are affirmations, so you don't even have to stick them in a planner. You can stick them wherever because, you know, you can put these like, everybody's got the Stanley, and then some people put stickers all over them. Imagine if you had some, like, trust the process. Never stop setting goals. I can and I will. You could put those on your cup. There is, like, ways to celebrate yourself, ways that you hit your water goal, you followed your plan, all of that. Like, we have all different options on here for you, and then, of course, over here as well. So, last but not least, certainly not least, Karen Brent, if you're watching this, for all of you who have seen that Karen Brent getting a group together to go get tattoos in Nashville, and you're like, oh, Lord, I don't want to go get tattoos. I'll go support them. I don't want tattoos. Temporary tattoos. You don't have to commit forever. Temporary tattoos. That is another thing that everybody has asked for forever. Temporary tattoos. Oh my gosh. Temporary tattoos. So they say, because I think they're backwards for you. I don't know. Fearless, I am enough. 2, no BS, temporary tattoos. Trust the journey. I got this. I can do it. Goal getter. Keep going. And actually, I can. Hello. And I did say that was the last thing. It's not true. There is one more thing for all of you who has old shitty and new hotness swag. I have my new hotness is gone, but here's old shitty. We've given you old shitty. New hotness. I've looked yesterday, couldn't find it, but coming to Queen's Camp, what are you going to get? A crown, another something to add to your collection. It's better than a McDonald's Happy Meal toy that was like in a series, because you know what you're going to get. No BS crown. So again, quickly, because I know Kathy's got to teach y'all some stuff. You get the affirmations. Oh, fire. I forgot one more, but wait, there's more. I put it over here to the side so I could show you, and then I damn forgot it. It just keeps on going, but wait, there's more. part of being queen of your life is being able to roll with it when shit hits the fan, right? You got a lunch plan, you got snacks planned, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and all you want to do is run by McDonald's because you didn't have nothing to put your snack in. Girl, we got you. It's a no BS lunch box. Hello. It's installated. So when you're leaving home, you can throw something down in there. And if you get hungry while you out, you got shit in here. You don't have to wait. You got stuff. There's a little place to put some water bottle over here on the side if you want to. Hello. You can put a little ice pack in here. It's going to keep it, even in the summer sweltering heat of the South, it will keep it cool. I can't believe I forgot that. I put it off to the side because it didn't fit in my stack. There's so much shit. So affirmations, stickers, tattoos, my new favorite pens and a bookmark. Double the stickies. My new favorite cover, this Queen of Your Life vision journal, which is going to be so helpful for everybody. The workbook and your notebook and the thing right here and your queen squishy. It's the biggest swag box we've ever done. I think that is the biggest swag box we've ever done. All right. I'm going to hang out on the call for a little bit. Actually, this is actually a dress, Holly. Holly says, I love this shirt. It's Crown and Ivy from Belk's and it's a dress. I will hang out. If y'all have got any questions, I'll be hanging out for a little bit. If you want me to repeat them, whatever it is, I will give it back to Kathy so that she can, be Kathy, be fantastic. But let us know if you have any questions. They are going to start shipping in about a week because we have 5.5 weeks to camp. If you come to in-person, if you already have your ticket to in-person Queens Camp, your swag will be at your table waiting for you. For our virtual folks, they will start shipping next week. And go check out Queen of Your Life because September 1st is our final price bump. Prices go up $20. So go check it out, nobswoman.com under events. You will see it there. But that is the swag, y'all. Thank you, Bailey and Yasmin. For, brainstorming. This is a ton of new stuff this time. So great team. I'm so excited. All right, y'all. I'll let Kathy come back up. She's coming. And I will turn my video off. But I'll be around if y'all need me. What's your favorite thing, Kathy? Which was your favorite?
The queen squishy. The crown. 100%. Oh, yeah. But followed by closely by that lunchbox. Dude, I love a good lunchbox.
I do
even
too.
Even though I work from home.
Wait till you get your hands on that vision journal, though.
Yeah.
That's your jam, Kathy. I know what your favorite's going to be. Yeah.
I can't wait.
All right, y'all. Pens.
MJ, I love it all. I just love it
all.
I
know. It's amazing.
I love all swag. Right.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all. Kathy, take it away.
All right. Hello, everyone. Again, I'm Kathy. Coach Kathy, I am one of the No BS coaches on the private coaching team. I am also NS coaches periodically. And I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today about how to make waiting for hunger and stopping at enough easier. So these are lessons 3 and 4 in your monthly focus, which is module 2 of the new No BS, making the basics easier. Y'all, Karima's genius again, as usual, as she came up with this. And if you think about it, module 1 is all about what the basics are. Module 2 is all about how to make them easy. So today our focus is hunger and enough. So I'm curious in the chat, tell me, which is easier for you, waiting for hunger or stopping at enough? So tell me in the chat. For me, it's waiting for hunger. 100% waiting for hunger. I see a lot of hungers. I see some enoughs. That's awesome. Stopping at enough, 100%. Awesome. Good. Well, it looks like a decent balance of both. So we're going to hit both of them. So As I thought about this, well, first, let's do this. Let's recap a little bit of what Corinne talks about in the videos with a little bit of Kathy nuance. How about that? So when she talks about hunger, she says you need to be fed when your body asks for food. So y'all, this is my jam. Talking to, asking, paying attention to what your body is telling you is going to be the key to your weight loss kingdom. Okay? Not just hunger and enough. I mean, if you can dive into your body and say, wonder what my hunger signals are. Wonder what it is my body says to me. What cues does it throw up when I'm hungry is going to tell you every time whether you're having, emotional hunger. I think I need to eat because I'm stressed hunger, or real physical hunger. My body's ready for some food. It's hungry. It's time to eat. Okay, so we've gotten ourselves into a pattern of either ignoring hunger or overusing hunger. I thought this was fascinating, Corinne's videos. Ignoring hunger means, it's less often, but it comes from diet mentality. Things like, I shouldn't eat so I can lose weight, or it's not time to eat yet. I want a little bit to come off the right thigh, or, basically diety stuff. I feel better when I'm hungry because I know I'm losing weight. Is that really true? Probably not. Because when you're hungry and when you get super hungry, I've been watching this show called Alone. Have y'all ever watched Alone? These people are dropped all by themselves in a, like a really, really country or rural environment. Like the current season right now, it's on the History Channel, is north of the Arctic Circle. These people get hungry, okay, because they've got to forage for their own food. They know what hunger feels like because they are hungry the entire time they're out there. They don't have McDonald's around the corner or a kitchen filled with, cool pantry items. They got to go catch the fish and scale it and eat it and hope they catch a fish that day. They know what hunger is. They're not ignoring it. They're trying to satisfy hunger. The other way we kind of nuance hunger a little bit is we overuse it. We can confuse true hunger with urges to eat. Okay. This is also where you want to dive into your body and say, is this real hunger? Is this, Corinne, sometimes Corinne used to talk about mind hunger versus belly hunger. Is this my brain wanting to eat because I'm uncomfortable about something? Or is this my stomach going, yo, I'm empty. We need a little energy. Let's have some lunch, right? So overusing hunger means we spend too much time with our brain going, I'm going to have to eat because I'm uncomfortable. Or something's wrong in my world and I don't know what to do, but I know eating makes me feel better. See what I'm saying? Remember, Corinne talks about this. We are not that far elevated from the cavemen. We are always scanning for danger. Our bodies, our nervous systems are always scanning for danger. Okay. Is it the puma that's going to, eat our face off when we step out to go, in caveman days to go get some food? Or is it, the boss that comes in and he's ready to lay down the hammer because you hadn't met your deadline? Is it, your kids acting crazy? What is your body perceiving as danger? Okay. There are two different types of threats that your body will perceive. It's a perceived threat that your body will encounter, a perceived threat, which is, something's wrong. I'm stressed. Somebody's yelling at me. Somebody's yelling downstairs. It's not a real threat. It's something that makes us like anxious and agitated in our bodies, or a real threat. Like there's a guy standing at your door with a machete. That's a real threat, y'all. Or the fire alarm's going off. That could be a real threat. Not so much the person that's yelling at you, or your own self-doubt, or things that are happening in your life. So pulling those apart, what's a perceived threat and what's a real threat? And then diving into your body and saying, dude, is this real hunger or is this like brain hunger? Is this me needing comfort, relief, control? Okay. So Two ways we misuse hunger, ignoring it and overusing it. Remember, this urgent hunger versus this physical hunger, most of the time this urgent hunger is coming from that habit brain of yours, which, by the way, is very important, okay? But the habit brain is seated in the motivational triad. It wants to conserve energy, it wants to avoid pain, and it wants to seek pleasure. I was talking about this with my my husband, Ken, this morning. Ken has a new project at work. He's like totally overwhelmed. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. I said, well, tell me why they gave you the project. So he started telling me, you know, I have experience here. I have all these resources. I know about, you know, this topic. I'm a good organizer. I said, then why do you think, why are you overwhelmed by it? Well, Kathy, it just seems so big. It just seems like such a big thing to do. I said, here's what your habit brain is doing, Ken. It's going, this is going to be hard. We don't need to do this. Conserve energy. In fact, while we're conserving energy and telling you that it's going to be too hard to do it, let's go have a beer or a piece of cake. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what my brain's doing. Motivational triad. Conserve energy, avoid pain, seek pleasure. That's all that habit brain's trying to do. It's up to you to use your conscious brain and go in and go, hey, so I see what you're saying, habit brain, but let's do a gut check on this. Seriously, like literally a gut check. Am I really hungry? Or is there just some perceived threat out there that I need to manage? You know, the kids are yelling at each other. I need to go break them up. The boss is worried about a deadline. Don't worry, dude, I've got it. See what I'm saying? That's how we overuse hunger. Now, enough, she says, Corinne mentions two ways we overeat, momentum eating and commanding yourself to stop. So momentum eating, what's the motivational triad again? Conserve energy, avoid pain, seek pleasure. Okay. Back to overeating. Two ways we overeat, momentum eating and commanding yourself to stop. So raise your hand, send me an emoji if you have ever momentum ate. That's when you eat when you're distracted, you don't want to stop, you're ignoring your signals, you might be watching TV, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just in the motion. Look at this. Lots of momentum eaters. My hand's raised too. Right? All the time I'm seeing in the chat. Yeah. Yeah. This is what we do, right? That it's almost like a habit. Okay. We sit down in front of the TV. We've got a full plate of food. You ever look down and your food's gone? That's a momentum eat. You're not really using your brain. You're just letting that momentum happen. You're not inviting in the question like, is this enough? Or how much have I had? Or what does my body really need? You're not inviting any of that conversation in. There are some solves to momentum eating. I work with some of my private clients on this. I have a client who puts a post-it note right next to her, you know, plate at the table. And it says, stop halfway and assess. You know, she does the halftime method almost every meal. She will think about, you know, she'll even divide her food in half to give herself that cue that she wants to stop halfway through her meal to see if she's had enough or to guess how much more she'll need. Okay. I also have clients who use phone timers at the table. I'm like, does that not distract anyone? She goes, no, I put it right in my lap and I set it on buzz. Nobody even knows it's there. How about that? Right. So you can actually, there's also an app called the Slow Eats app. I'm sure some of you all use it. That kind of times your bites, times how much, how long you're eating. So those are some things you can try to sort of break the momentum. If you're a TV eater like me, I suggest you get your plate and you actually make a separation in your food. Kind of like you do, I bet you do this when you go out to eat. You know, how many times have you gotten a great big plate of food and you've cut your sandwich in half and put the first half in the to-go container? That's all we're asking you to do here. Just give it a shot. See if you can kind of break some of the momentum eating. There's also ways to talk to yourself when you find yourself momentum eating. And I'm going to give you a clue. Saying, you're such a dumbass, you ate too much, is not a good way to talk to yourself when you're momentum eating. It might be more like, hey, Kathy, I see that you're on a roll here. Let's put the fork down for a minute and see what's going on. You know, maybe you stop at every commercial. Maybe you and talk to yourself. I really want to get this enough figured out. So I'm going to stop for a minute and just dive into my body and see what's going on. See what kind of signals, what kind of thoughts I might be having about what I'm eating. Just be kind to yourself, okay? The last thing about momentum eating is it might not be seen until you are eating or until you're finished, and that's okay. The very, very first step in recognizing momentum eating is being aware that you're doing it or that you have done it. That's the most important thing. You're not going to solve it the very first time you try. You have to know that you're doing it in order to set up some of these cues that give you the pause, that give you the chance to stop and assess. Okay? So remember, if you didn't see it, that's okay. Just take that information into the next time you eat. Okay? All right. We're going to move on to stress. Okay? So I was doing a little studying on this, and I was thinking about why do we momentum eat? Oh, let's back up a minute. There's another way. The two ways we overeat: momentum eating and commanding yourself to stop. Okay, Corinne talks about commanding yourself to stop, and I need to hit this too because this is really important. This is more about how you talk to yourself. And you're less likely, this is so important, everybody listen, you're less likely to find success if you are nasty to yourself. I hit on this a minute ago. Because here's what happens. When you're ugly to yourself, when you say things like, see, you'll never get this, see, you know, you're failing again, you are creating an unsafe place in your mind. Think about criticism. When anyone else criticizes you, what happens? Do you just go, eh, that's just their opinion? Or do you go, oh my God, what if they're right? You know, and the energy starts to build in your body. You start to get nervous. You start to really question yourself. When you criticize yourself in your mind, you're doing the same thing. You're telling yourself things like, I'll never get this. This isn't for me. I'm a lost cause. I must be broken. And what does that do to your self-concept and to your ability to look for momentum eats and overusing hunger and these things that Corinne talks about? All it does is amplify the fact that you think your self-concept stinks. Okay? So it's really, really important when you're telling yourself it's time to stop eating, that you're not saying things like, see, you blew it again. You overate. See, you know, you'll never get this. You want to say things more like, huh, I wonder what that was about. Or, I noticed I was thinking this while I was eating. Let's dive into what that means. Or even just checking off your habit tracker. You know, doing your discovery worksheet. What was I feeling when this happened? Was this a habit eat or an emotional eat? When you can y'all remember the old lab coat? We talked about the scientist and the lab coat. When you put your lab coat on and you can assess with a clear mind that's not judging you for being overweight or overeating or, you know, whatever it is, if you can be the scientist, you're going to get so much further with the information that you learn and how you apply it. Okay. And when you're the scientist, you are much more likely to have neutral thoughts about your eating rather than judgy thoughts about your eating. Does make sense? Thumbs up. How you talk to yourself is everything, everything, everything on how you eat, how you feel, all the things. Okay, now we'll move into stress. So first I was thinking about stress. And I was thinking about how a lot of us think stress is an emotion, and it can be. But I also want to tell you that stress is any tension in your brain from judgy thoughts, right? Or it's emotional tension that you feel in your body. So if you think of stress as an umbrella, there's lots of different emotions that live under stress, like anxious or anger or frustration or overwhelm, right? So when we think about stress, we think about, you know, what creates this urge to overeat when we have stress in our lives. And I'm fixing to tell you, it's the stress cycle. This is some of my new fancy training, y'all, from the nervous system. Here's the stress cycle. Something happens in your world, in your environment, that stresses you, that creates that feeling. You have plus past learning. Oh, this has happened before and it didn't go well. Because we never remember the good stuff, right? When we're thinking about a stressor, we're like, here we go again. This is going to be a, you know, a crap show. Plus a threat, either perceived or real, and you have a stress response. Okay, so let's use an argument with your partner. The stressor is the argument. Past learning is they're going to hold a grudge for 2 or 3 days. I'm going to have to live with this for 2 or 3 days. It's going to be awful. And then the perceived threat, you know, because it's probably not a real threat if you're having an argument with someone. The perceived threat is they're going to be angry with me. I didn't show up well. You know, it's how you talk to yourself. That threat is how you talk to yourself, how you perceive they've talked to them. It's usually in your mind, right? How you're interpreting what's happened. And then your stress response is to go eat or drink or shop or whatever your stress response tends to be. So if you think about it in those terms, then you can think about, how do you interrupt that cycle? Okay. The stressor is going to happen. You're going to have a thought about it and you're going to have a response to it. So what do you want to think? How do you want to deal with it? What do you want your response to be? That's the big thing when you talk about stress and the stress cycle. Your response, your initial response happens in your body. You get agitated, you get that extra energy, you have all the thoughts about it. But do you really want to eat over it? Or do you want to resolve it? Because eating doesn't resolve. It might help you feel better for a minute, but it's like putting your emotion into the corner and saying, you just sit there for a few minutes while I have a snack. When I'm done, you can come back. It's exactly what eating does. It doesn't resolve the emotion. Journaling resolves the emotion. Talking it out, connection resolves the emotion. Feeling the feeling and processing it and understanding it resolves the emotion. See what I'm saying? Eating doesn't do it. So many of us look for this comfort, this relief in feeling stuffed. And that's a pattern or a habit that can be questioned. Okay. Do you really feel better when you're stuffed? Do you really feel better physically? I don't. I mean, I'm like laid out somewhere with super low energy. I having to unbutton my pants. I have this feel like I have a bowling ball in my stomach. I can't sleep. I can't get comfortable. So really, if you dive into your body looking for comfort and relief, it's not in overeating, because that just, to me, it just, who needs a bowling ball in their belly, right? So this happens when we haven't looked for other ways to relax. We've just gotten in the habit of eating and then moving on. So in the chat, I want you to give me some of the ways other than eating that you relax, you find calm. I'm going to give you a few of mine. Y'all have heard me say, somebody says the Calm app, reading, music, time in the gym. I'm going to tell you, y'all have heard me talk about my 5 core pillars, right? 5 core pillars to having an emotional relaxation experience. Connection with friends, accountability groups, coaches, partners, ourselves, nature. Seriously, I have a client who has a tree in her backyard. She will go out and hug when she's stressed. I'm not even kidding. But it works for her. So connection, sunshine is a big one. That's mine. I go out and I take a walk in the sunshine. I don't care if it's 110 degrees. If I step outside in the sunshine, I feel better. Nutrition. This includes foods that work in your body. This is not diet mentality. This is knowing what foods and how much of them make you feel good, and water. Okay. Sleep. So important to get your sleep. Sleep is not only restorative, but helps you manage urges through the day because your body is so smart. If you don't get enough sleep, it's going to be like, we need some energy. Let's have some more food, whether you're hungry or not. And the last one is movement. Some of you said, I go for a walk. I go to the gym. Kate loves it, standing barefoot outside. Yeah. So movement itself helps burn some of that nervous energy that you have. Those are ways, more healthy ways other than eating to help manage stress. They also create space for you to think about what your stress is caused by and how you want to resolve it. So you've got new ways to find calmness. You can have new ways to think. Like, I can figure this out is a big one for me. I know, you know, I borrowed it from Corinne a long time ago. Jane says, where does journaling fit in connection with self? Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I can figure this out. I had a coach give me the thought one time, and I gave it to my husband recently. I am the perfect person to do this job. What if you thought that? I am the right person to do this job today, whether it's your work, your homework, your relationships work. I mean, think about that. Doesn't that feel good? And then new ways to understand and think about your truest needs. That's more about diving into your body, y'all. I know it sounds woo, but I really, really 100% believe that our bodies are amazing, amazing mechanisms. And they talk to us all the time. They tell us when we're hungry, when we've had enough. Why not use it to tell us when we're stressed, when we need Tylenol, when we need water, when we need sleep? You know, they're always talking to us. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about urges for a minute. Both sides of the doable hunger method come with urges, right? Urges to eat before you're hungry, like donuts in the break room, stressful meeting with the boss, kids are yelling at each other. How about that, right? Urges to eat past enough. This tastes so good. I don't want to waste it. Oh my gosh, I know this can't be enough. You ever had that thought? You've eaten a few bites and you've had enough and you're like, what? No, this can't be enough. I'm here to tell you urges are not the problem. This is so important, okay? You have urges every day, y'all. You have urges to brush your teeth. You have urges to go to the bathroom. Coach Lisa's on the call. She tell you have urges for intimacy. You have urges to get up and walk around when you're stiff. You have urges to go to bed. Your body is always sending up urges. So why do we vilify urges to eat? Right? It's just your body communicating with you about what it thinks you might need. And you have to use this thinking part of your brain to go back in and go, is that real hunger? Or is that like urgent hunger? It's like, is that a need for me to, you know, relax for a minute or resolve an emotion? On the flip side, have I had enough? Or am I thinking, this isn't enough? It can't be enough food, y'all. This can't be enough. I might starve to death, but you know, I'll be hungry again in an hour. So what? Right? So parceling out urges from, you know, thinking about what your body might be telling you versus what your brain is telling you is going to be the key there. So urges themselves are not the problem. They're just your body talking to you. It's what you think about the urge that's the issue. Okay, think about it. I don't like urges. Urges are hard. I can't stand having urges. I don't know what to do with these urges. I can't tolerate urges. When you're telling yourself that kind of story about urges, when they're just your body going, hey, what do you think about doing this? You know, if you think of it as a suggestion, does that take the temperature down? Because when you're thinking that way about urges, of course they're going to feel hard. Of course they're going to be intolerable. But if you go, huh, I'm having an urge right now. Wonder what that's about. Wonder what's going on here. Wonder what my body's really trying to signal for me. Is it seeing some kind of threat that I need to respond to? Am I having, you know, am I experiencing an emotion that I need to like bring over to Ask Coaches or put in the Facebook group about? If a story, if you have a story about urges that is not helpful, then they're going to feel hard. Now, here's what these stories might look like. Okay. I'm going to give you six F's. You ready? Six F's. Coach Lisa, get ready. Every time you fear an urge, you draw attention to it and you amplify it. Have you ever feared getting an urge? Right? If your body is just talking to you, or your brain, your habit brain is giving you a suggestion, there's no sense in fearing it. It's for you to figure out if you want to follow the urge. Nobody fears an urge to go to the bathroom. Nobody fears an urge to brush their teeth. But for some reason, we fear urges to eat or urges to stop eating or continue eating. So fear is number one. Number two, when you give the urge too much focus, you're always watching for it and you amplify it. I wonder if I'm going to have an urge today at 3 o'clock. Oh my gosh, what will I do if I have an urge today at 3 o'clock? I'm not sure. Gosh, if I have an urge today at 3 o'clock, I don't know how I'll stop eating. See the focus? A little fear in there as well. What if you just take the focus off the urge and just wait for it? Wonder if it's going to come up. Curious, right? Number three, when you're frustrated that you have an urge, frustration. Why would you be frustrated if you have an urge? It's just your body talking to you, just your habit brain sending up a suggestion. It might sound like, I hate urges. Oh my gosh, if I could just stop having urges, it shouldn't be here. All of that just draws attention to the urge. And guess what? Amplifies it, makes it bigger than it needs to be. Okay. So we've got fear, focus, and frustration so far. The next one is fighting the urge. That's resistance. I'm sure during your time in OBS, you have heard the conversation about resistance versus allowing. When you resist something, you're putting a lot of energy into trying very hard not to give in. You're saying, shouldn't be. No, you're saying, shouldn't be there. I hate it. I don't want to do this. This is hard. But if you feel an urge and you allow it to be there, it's when you can put that scientist coat on again, that lab coat on again and go, huh, I'm having an urge to eat. Wonder what just happened. Wonder what my body is perceiving as a threat. Wonder what habit has, queued up in my habit brain. Curiosity is the opposite of resistance. Curiosity helps you allow the urge and understand it so you can kind of dissect it and figure out what you want to do next time you have it or what you want to do this time as you're experiencing it. Okay, number five. Trying to fix the urge from a place of, I'm broken. Okay, again, we're back to, how are you talking to yourself? And are you really trying to fix the urge? Or are you trying to understand the urge? Because you're not broken. You have urges all the time. We just went through a bunch of them. Okay. The number six is feeling forlorn. I love this word, dramatic, forlorn, right? Abandoned, sad, yearning all amplifies the urge too. Okay. If you're feeling forlorn, you're like, oh, I'll just never get this. You've got low energy. You're like, this is just awful. No, that doesn't help your urges. In fact, it probably amplifies your urges. So I got to give credit to my nervous system teacher, Leah Davidson, for teaching me the six Fs. And I think they can apply to urges and just about anything else that you're working on that you want to be curious about rather than add to the problem. Okay? Because when any of these six Fs gets too intense, your brain and your nervous system are going to think there's a problem to solve. And there's really no problem to solve. Urges are just part of being human and part of our body, like I've said all the way through this call, talking to our brain. So when you find yourself in one of these places, the best thing to do is to allow the urge, accept it, accept that it's there, and normalize it. Of course, I'm having an urge right now. I'm in the middle of a big project and I need a break. Of course, I want to eat right now. This is me. Ken just left the house. It's my habit to secret eat. Of course, I hear that door. I'm like, potato chips in the pantry, y'all. So you normalize it and you go, this is just my habit. This is okay. I'm going to like bring in a little self-compassion and offer myself a little grace, tell myself I'm not broken, and see what I can do to manage this urge. Okay? So we've kind of gone a long way around making hungering enough easy. I wanted to teach you those six Fs because I thought that they were really, really enlightening about how we can respond, how we can't do respond to urges, and how we can kind of change that up a little bit. Okay? All right. Let's see if there are any questions. Amy says, mine is more like a toddler, not wanting to give up a favorite toy, but I'm having fun. I'm not done eating. It tastes so good. Please don't make me let go. I'm going to cry. Doesn't matter how fast or slow I go, same emotional attachment to the eating process. I love this question. I love this question. Because, you know, as a coach, my first inclination is to question every one of those thoughts. Okay, Amy, why is eating fun? I don't know that I would describe eating as fun. I think I would describe it as enjoying because I like my food. I enjoy the taste and the texture. You know, we're supposed to like our food. We're not supposed to. Listen, if I had to eat beets all day long, every day, I'd probably weigh about 120 pounds. Okay, because I'm not going to eat beets. I hate them. So I eat things that I like. And I enjoy eating them, but it's not the only place I have fun. I don't want to attach fun to eating because eating has a different purpose. It's to enjoy taste, texture, and it's to make my body run in a way that really, really works for me. Okay. I'm not done eating. So I'm not done eating could be true if you hadn't hit enough, right? But what if you've hit enough and your body says, I'm thinking we've had enough here. If you give me much more, it's going to put a little strain on our digestive system. You know, when you say I'm not done eating, it's because your brain is going, I want to eat more. I'm having fun. You're not paying attention to what your body needs, what your body cues are telling you. It tastes good. Yeah, 100%. But is that a reason to overeat? Can you have that food again? Can you put it in the fridge? Can you make it again? Can you go to that restaurant again? Even if you can't, is it worth the overeat for you? If it is, go for it. But know the consequences that you're going to pay tell yourself the currency I'll pay for overeating this because it tastes good and it's fun is scale might go up, have a bowling ball in my belly. Who knows what's going to happen in my digestive system? I'm not going to sleep. You know, ask yourself, what's the currency I'm going to pay for this? How are you going to talk to yourself if you overeat because it tastes so good and it's fun? Please don't make me let go. I'm going to cry. This is all your toddler, your old habit thinking that you get to comfort with your amazing thinking brain. It's okay to cry. I still love you. We're just going to take good care of ourselves. You know, whatever it is you have to say to yourself to kind of give yourself that love and compassion that you're probably looking for in the food is going to be the key for that, okay? So those are my ideas. I would take each of those. Okay, Lisa sent me a note here. I would take each of those and I would write them in my journal and I would have a response for it. But I'm having fun. Yeah, but I'll have fun when I'm finished, you know, because I'm going to watch TV or play a game with my kids. I'm not done eating. I might not want to be done eating, but I've hit enough, so I'll eat the rest of this later. See what I'm saying? Think about, pull each of them apart and add a compassionate response. Okay, I think my secret eating was so mindless and habited that I didn't think about it when I started doing it again. What can I journal on to rid myself of this for the last time? Okay, I don't know who you are because Lisa sent this to me. But here's what I'm going to tell you. First of all, you have to be aware of it first, right? So you might not rid yourself of it for the last time. You might always have an urge to secret eat. It's how you talk to yourself about that urge. I can tell you what I've done. I really dove into why did I secret eat? And the crux of it is, my thought is Ken will never know. Okay. If I take a little bit of potato chips and a little bit of nuts and a little bit of crackers and a little bit of cheese and a little bit of something else, a little bit of something, cookie, he'll never know that I ate. I'm going to tell you, Ken doesn't care what I eat. He really doesn't. He might look at me sideways. You must be hungry. But he doesn't judge what I eat. I'm the one judging what I eat. Okay? Think about it. Nobody else cares what you're eating. You're the one thinking about what you eat. So that's how I talk to myself. When I hear that door close and I think, potato chips, pantry, I hear, Ken will never know. And I think, but I'll know. And my pants will know. It's the big thing. I don't want those potato chips to end up in my pants because that's what'll happen. That's where I gain my weight, hips and thighs, y'all. So what can you journal on? Why am I keeping this a secret? Who am I keeping it from? Do they even care or am I judging it myself? Because usually that's what's happening. We secret eat because we think someone else might see what we eat. When the most important person to know what you eat is you and how your eating affects your weight loss. Make sense? Okay. If there is nothing else, Lisa, we got anything else? I hope this was helpful. Told my husband yesterday I was secret eating again. Good for you. So secret eating comes with shame too. And the more you can bring it out into the open, the less of an intensity it has. You think about, you know, think about sharing with your husband. You actually just, you know, told him about it so that he can help you. You connected with him on it. It's a beautiful thing. All right. I am going to move on to the next part of my day. I thank you all for being here and for participating when I asked you to raise hands and all the things. If you had a question that didn't get answered, can always take it over to Ask Coaches. I always encourage you all to talk to each other in the Facebook group about what you learned. So if you wanted to pop in and say, man, I learned something from Kathy today and you all got to hear it, put it in the Facebook group. Okay? All right. Everybody have a great day and I will see you soon.